fellow citizens of Africa, I greet you in the name of the Universal Negro Improvement Association and African Communities League of the World.
That's the voice of Marcus Garvey, who was controversial during the Harlem Renaissance. Born in Jamaica, Garvey came to the U.S. in 1916 and started the Harlem branch of his Universal Negro Improvement Association. The group, which was often called the Garvey Movement, spread messages of black repatriation, economic empowerment, and Pan-Africanism around the world. Garvey's rhetoric often put him at odds with black American leaders. He also ran into legal trouble and was arrested for mail fraud and deported to Jamaica. Historian Robert Hill runs the Marcus Garvey and UNIA Papers Project at the University of California, Los Angeles. It is the single largest public collection of Garvey's writings and papers. I visited him at UCLA, where he is also a professor of history.
What we're trying to do is not necessarily promote Garvey. Our responsibility as scholars is to say this is historically important. This is not the only place that you could find material related to Garvey, obviously. But what we do is, in publishing these papers, we annotate them and then leave it up to people.
Well, can you show us some of the papers?
Sure.
What are we looking at on
these
this
These are
row?
The volumes. There is an appendix in Volume 1, a biographical appendix of individuals who played a very important role in Garvey's early career.
Let me ask you about one of the associates, if I can use that term, of Garvey's, who I found particularly intriguing, and that's Cox, the white supremacist, and also when he met with the Imperial Grand Wizard.
Yes.
Are these people who were a part of the history of Marcus Garvey annotated in here also?
Absolutely. Ernest Cox. Sevier Cox.
Now, this is a letter from Marcus Garvey to Cox, who was a white supremacist. He says,
yes.
Your letter and pamphlet have been brought to my attention by my wife. I appreciate highly the effort you are making. I endorse and support your views and hope for closer cooperation between two societies. Now, how could Marcus Garvey, who is talking about the improvement of the Negroes, say such things to a person who considered Negroes not even human?
Marcus Garvey felt that Ernest Sevier Cox, as well as the White Citizen Council, as well as the Ku Klux Klan, that they were white nationalists, and he was a black nationalist. And they stood for the purity of the white race, and he stood for the purity of the black race. He felt that they represented the interests of white America. So Garvey felt that they were simply a mirror image of the things that he held dear.
How would you describe, briefly, Dr. Hill, Marcus Garvey's relationships within the Harlem Renaissance? My reading suggests that he was an inside outsider, if there is such a thing.
Garvey's movement is responsible for popularizing the concept of Renaissance. Now, before the novelists and the poets of the well-known Negro Renaissance movement would become known to history, Harlem was a flood with a whole series of weekly, monthly newspapers, magazines, journals. The journalism is really what provided the foundation of this cultural revival. Most importantly of all, you had Marcus Garvey's Negro World. Many of the writers of the Harlem Renaissance, like Zora Neale Hurston, she publishes her first poems in the Negro World. Du Bois's Crisis, which was the most and longest established, was now challenged by Garvey's Negro World.
Why is it, in your opinion, that Marcus Garvey, as an icon of a historical icon in black America and beyond, does not have the same resonance, the name Marcus Garvey, as a Martin Luther King or a Malcolm X? or even others that you might name. Why is that, given what he contributed? Why do we not hear and know more about him?
I think that, for example, the image of Marcus Garvey riding in that open-air automobile limousine with the military hat and the plumes, many people know that image, though they don't necessarily know that that's Marcus Garvey. The colors, the red, black, and green, those were the official colors of the flag of the UNIA. So that today, anyone who sees a red, black, and green flag knows that that's black nationalism, that's Pan-Africanism. Those are the colors of African liberation. So that Garvey's vision is stamped on the 20th century and still alive today.
Historian Robert Hill runs the Marcus Garvey and UNIA Papers Project at the University of California, Los Angeles. I visited him at UCLA, where he is also a professor of history.
Marcus Garvey's words come to pass. Marcus Garvey's words come to pass.